Marilyn, you asked me what we're going to study about tonight.
Yeah.
We're going to study about a very, very interesting subject. Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where it begins. We're going to study a few verses here. And we're studying the Gospel of Mark from Greek, of course. But we're going to kind of set that aside tonight a little bit. And we're going to read two verses here, and then we're going to go through the rest of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing we're going to do is we're going to go to Psalm. To the book of Psalms. And we're going to look at Psalm 41 and verse 9. And this is, Judas Iscariot is the only disciple of Jesus that was mentioned of or prophesied in the Old Testament. The only disciple of Jesus that was mentioned or prophesied in the Old Testament. And Psalm 41 and verse 9 reads, "Even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, relied on, and who was confident, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me." John 13:18 and Mark 14:10 and 11 and several other places in the Bible where we're going to read that. Now let's read our Greek here. We have a preparation for the betrayal of Christ. Kai Judas Iscariot, ho eis ton dudeka, apelthen pros tous archeres, hina auton paradoi autos. And Judas, what does Judas mean? This is wrong. First of all, it's translated into Greek wrong. What is it? What should it be? I mean, into English. It's Judas in Greek, but it was translated right out of Greek into English. But what is the Hebrew? This is a Hebrew name, isn't it? Judah. Judah.
And that's the same as Judas.
Jesus was a lion of the tribe of Judah, wasn't he?
Yeah.
All right. Jesus was a lion of the tribe of Judah. So here we have Judah Iscariot. Now Jude is the same name. King James got all mixed up with the name Judah, and they call it Jude and Judas, and of course Judah in other places. But it's the same name, which means praise Jehovah. Or glory or praise unto Jehovah. And Judas Iscariot. What does Iscariot mean?
He's from that town.
Man from Kerioth. Man from Kerioth. Which is down by Hebron. Judas, the man from Kerioth. The one. We have the word haste there. It's not ace, but haste. The one of the 12. He went to the chief priests in order that him, he might... Third person singular, secondary, and subjunctive active, that he might betray or hand over him to them. Now let's go to verse number 11. Hoi de accusantes ekareson kai apanga galanto auto agurion dune kai ezete pos auton eucharos paradoi. Moreover, that little weak adversative conjunctive there, day, moreover the ones, and the word hoi there is the definite article for accusantes. The ones having heard They rejoiced. Look at that word. Comes from Cairo. Third person plural, second aorist, indicative passive. They were caused to rejoice. They were joying in the wickedness of their act. They were going to murder somebody. And now they find somebody to point him out so they can catch him. And they promised for themselves, upon the low, they promised for themselves to him silver to give. Silver to give. Silver or anything made of silver, that's what the word agurion, to give to him. And he kept on seeking. That's in perfect tense there. See, third person singular, imperfect, indicative, active. He kept on seeking how him, in a good season, opportunity, that he might hand him over. All of this is subjunctive mode. See that? Subjunctive. Now let's go back and think about Judas Iscariot. What do you think about Judas Iscariot, Pamela? What about this guy? What do you got to think about Judas Iscariot? What do you think out there about Judas Iscariot? Brother Roger, what about him?
Well, he was consistent because he was stealing money and looking to replace it and didn't care who he hurt.
Yep. He was stealing money all the time because he was a treasurer in that early church, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He was a treasure in the church. By the way, the church was already in existence. The church already had apostles in it, didn't it? That's the first gift placed in the church. And we have a wicked treasurer here that's stealing. They were going to succeed in crime. They had planned a crime. Now, what did that crime consist of? It consists of finding false witnesses. Now, when Jethro told Moses, "Moses, you find 70 men. You're working too hard, Moses, so you find 70 men and you make a court out of those 70 men. You find 70 men that cannot be bought. You find 70 men that are beyond reproach, that are holy in their behavior, and that will hide the word of God in their hearts." What do we have here? Scoundrels. Scoundrels. Everything but what they were supposed to be. Now let's go through the Bible. And let's look at some of the verses. We read the psalm that prophesied of him, didn't we? In Mark 3:19 it says, "And Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him." John 12:3-5, "Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume, pure nard, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, who was intending to betray him, said, 'Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii?'" That's over a year's wages. "And given to the poor." Was he worried about the poor? No, he's worried about getting his hands on the money. John 13:29, "For some were supposing, because Judas had the money box, that Jesus was saying to him, 'Buy the things we have need for at the feast,' or else that he should give something to the poor." In John 13:21 and 22, it says, "When Jesus said this, he became troubled in the spirit and testified, saying, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, that one of you will betray me.' And the disciples kept on looking at one another, at a loss to know which one of them he was speaking. And they were laying up the table, and one of them was one of the disciples whom Jesus loved." Mark 26:14-16. I'm not reading all of these verses, but just the ones very important. "Then one of the 12, named Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, 'What are you willing to give me to betray him to you?' And they weighed out 30 pieces of silver," and that is the price of what? The price of a slave. silver to him. From then on, began looking for a good opportunity to betray him. Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went off to the chief priests in order to betray him. And that's what we just met there in the Gospel of Mark. Matthew 27:3-10. Then when Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that he had been condemned, he felt remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. But they said, what is this to us? See to it to yourself. And he threw the pieces of silver into the Holy of Holies and departed and went away and what?
He
hanged himself. 27:5. And he threw the pieces of silver into the temple sanctuary and departed and went away and hanged himself. Acts 1:25. To occupy, now this is when they appointed an apostle to take Judas's place, to occupy this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go his own place. Matthew 26:24, and the Son of Man is to go just as is written of him, but woe to the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for him, or better for him, if he had never been born. John 1:26. Now he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief, and he had the money box, and he used to what? Steal what was put into it. He was a thief from the very beginning. John 12:4-6. But Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, one of his disciples, who was intending to betray him, said, why was the perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? Now he said this, not because he was concerned about the poor before, but because he was a good man, a good treasurer, a very conservative. But because he was a thief, and as he had the money box, he used to pilfer what was put into it. John 13:27. Now Judas was sitting at the table with Jesus. Judas was sitting on his left hand, a place of honor. And John leaned over there on Jesus' breast and asked him, who is it going to betray me? And Jesus said to John, what? Who that I shall give a morsel of bread to and dip it and give to him? And after the morsel, now just think about this for a while. They're sitting in here at this early Passover, and they're eating the lamb that was sacrificed for their sins. They're sitting there eating bitter herbs that's supposed to remind them of the bitterness that Israel was in while they were in Egypt. The Passover lamb was killed, and then its blood was struck on the door facings and on the top of their doors, so that the spirit of Jehovah, or the angel Jehovah, when it passed over Egypt, that he would not come in there and kill them, the Passover. He's sitting there, and he said, one of you is going to betray me. Now, do you think Jesus knew that he was going to betray him? Well, he already planned it. He already got the money. He didn't say anything. He didn't ask, is it I, is it I, is it I? But the others did. And then John asked him, who is it that's going to betray you? And Jesus said, the one who I'm about to give a morsel of bread from the dish. So Jesus reached over there, and he dips a bread into this herbs, and then he puts it in Judas's mouth. Now, let's see what happened right afterwards. After Jesus, the Son of God, gave the bread and placed it in Judas's mouth like he would a little child, After the morsel, Satan entered into him. And therefore Jesus said to him, what you do, do it quickly. Get gone. And then we have the Lord's Supper instituted from the Passover. John 17:12, while I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of what? The son of hell, that the scripture might be fulfilled. John 6:70-71. And Jesus answered them, did I myself not choose one of you? The 12. And yet one of you is a what? Is a devil. Now he meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him.
Let's read this from the Amplified.
And then I want to read something that Warren Wiersbe, wrote in his little commentary about Judas Iscariot. I think it's very fitting. The Amplified Bible in 14:10-11 says, for Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12 apostles, went off to the chief priests in order to betray him and hand him over to them. And when they heard it, they rejoiced and were delighted, and they promised to give him money, and he, busying himself continually, sought an opportunity to betray him. Now, let's go over here to Mark 14:18. Now, we haven't gotten there in the Greek yet, but I want to read this because our topic tonight is Judas Iscariot. What kind of character was he? What made him tick? I think what made Judas tick was money and greed. And while they were at the table eating, Jesus said, surely I say to you that one of you will betray me. One who is eating here with me. And of course, that's fulfillment of what? Psalm 41 and verse 9. And they began to show that they were sad and hurt and said to him, one after another, is it I? Is it not I? Is it? And he replied to them, it is the one of the 12 apostles who is dipping bread into the same dish with me. Verse 21 says, for the Son of Man goes as it stands written concerning him. Woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good and profitable and wholesome for that man if he had never been born. Do you think that everybody in Hades today wishes that they had never been born? Do you think that every person in Hades a million years from now will wish they hadn't been born? Let's look at what Mr. Wiersbe says here. Now he says that Peter and John prepared the Passover feast. And the man that was carrying the jar probably was John Mark's father. Jesus did eat the Passover in the upper room in John Mark's home. And there are many fascinating speculations and evidences to confirm this. The original Passover feast consisted of the roasted lamb, the unleavened bread, why was the bread unleavened? Why was the bread unleavened?
Well, leaven represents sin, but they were getting ready to travel.
Yes. Okay. The unleavened bread, leaven represents sin, so sin had to be out of there. And the bread that is on this table represented Jesus, did it not? And the lamb represented Jesus. And the bitter herbs represented Jesus because he, in the bitterness of his soul, wept. And that Gethsemane that was just about to follow this. The original Passover feast consisted of roasted lamb, the unleavened bread, and the dish of bitter herbs, Exodus 12:8-20. The lamb reminded the Jews of the blood that was applied to the doorpost in Egypt to keep the, he says, the angel of death. We know this is not the angel of death, don't we? This is Jehovah himself. From slaying their firstborn. The bread reminded them of their haste in leaving Egypt, Exodus 12:39. And the bitter herbs spoke of the suffering as Pharaoh's slaves. And then he says here, at some times in the centuries that followed, the Jews added to the ceremony the drinking of 4 cups of wine diluted with water. Now, between Mark 14:17-18 are details of the washing of the disciples' feet and the lesson on humility in John 13:1-20. Following that lesson, Jesus became deeply troubled and announced that one of his disciples was a traitor. The announcement stunned all of the disciples except who? Judas. Who knew that Jesus was speaking about him? Could he have repented right then? Could he have repented and turned around as a person? Yes. Until the very end, Jesus hid from the other disciples the identity of his betrayer, for he wanted to give Judas every opportunity to turn from sin. He even washed Judas's feet. You realize that? He even washed Judas's feet. How do you think Judas felt when he was washing his feet? Had Peter known the truth about Judas, Peter may have killed Jesus. I mean Judas. Or Judah, as it should be. Some people try to defend Judas by arguing that he betrayed Jesus in order to force him into revealing his power and setting up his Jewish kingdom. And I've heard that argument several times. Have you ever heard that, Brother Roger?
No.
Yeah. They say that he only did this to force Jesus into setting up his kingdom. Now let's go back. Where did Judas come from originally? Son of Simon. Where did he come from? What was Judas doing when Jesus called him out? What? What was Judas doing?
Was he a fisherman?
No. He was the only one of them, the one from Galilee. What was Judas? What was his occupation? What was his obsession before Jesus called him? Remember, he was a Sicari. He was an assassin. He was a murderer. He was in that elite group of zealots that killed Roman soldiers, would sneak up on them and stick a stiletto right into their brisket and up into their heart and twist it and walk off. That's what he did. He was of the group that were there at Masada. That's what he did. Who else was a Sicari?
Paul
was a Sicari. Who else? Simon the Zealot. Now, we got 3 of these that we know are Sicari, including Simon of Cyrene, because Cyrene was where there was a great Sicari stronghold. Now, we have these others now that turned out all right, but Judas didn't quite turn out. He was a murderer from the beginning, wasn't he? He was an assassin and a murderer, a sneak. A sneak thief, you might say. Now, he says here that others say that he was nothing but a servant who obediently fulfilled God's word as a robot. Did God create him that way? Did he create him that way? Judas was neither a martyr nor a robot. Wiersbe says he was a responsible human being who made his own decision, but in so doing fulfilled the word of God. He must not be made into either a hero. After all, somebody had to betray Jesus, didn't they? Or a helpless victim of merciless predestination. Judas was lost for the same reason millions are lost today. He did not repent of his sins and believe on Jesus Christ, as in John 6, 64 through 71 or 13, 10 and 11. None of the other disciples really thought himself to be a traitor, for their questions imply a negative answer. Is it not I, is it? It's not I, is it? The men had been debating over which one of them would be the greatest, but now they were discussing which one of them was the vilest, the lowest, the traitor. To make matters worse, Jesus said that his betrayer had even eaten bread with him at the table. In the Middle East, to break bread with somebody meant to enter into a pact of friendship and mutual trust. It would be an act of basest treachery and trickery to break bread and then betray your host. However, even this was the fulfillment of the Word of God, Psalm 41 and verse 9. Judas was sitting in the place of honor at the Lord's left, while John was reclining in his right, John 13:23. When Jesus gave Judas the bread dipped in the herbs, it was a gracious act of a host to a special guest. Do you realize that? I want to read that once again. When Jesus gave Judas the bread dipped in the herbs. Now, this man was sitting at a place of honor next to Jesus. It was a gracious act of a gracious special or host to a special guest. A special guest. The man had to be special for the host or the Lord of the feast to give him a morsel of bread from his own hand. Even this did not break Judas's heart. Just think about Judas now. He's sitting there. Jesus has washed his feet. He has set him at a place of honor on his left. Because what they wanted to be one on the left hand and one on the right hand, didn't they? Did they not want that? Well, he put him in a place of honor. And then, as a gracious host to someone very special, he takes a morsel of bread and dips it in these herbs and gives it to him. And yet, this did not break Judas's heart. For after Judas took the morsel, Satan possessed him, entered into him. Judas left the upper room to go make the final arrangements for the arrest of our Lord and Savior. But even then, the disciples did not know the truth about Judas. John 13, 27 through 30, and they would not find out the truth until they met him later in the Garden of Gethsemane. When Judas left, Jesus instituted what is called the Lord's Supper. Now let's go on a little further down the line. Judas went to the chief priest and the high priest, and he got 30 pieces of silver, did he not? Then what did he do? He got hundreds of temple soldiers with him. Hundreds of them. And they went to arrest Jesus, and they came with what? What did they come with?
Weapons.
Now, Brother Roger, what's wrong with them coming with weapons?
Well, the temple officials, for one thing, and so they shouldn't be armed. And it was during Passover for another thing. Right?
Well, they were not supposed to carry any weapons during this time of the feast. They were never supposed to carry weapons in the feast during feast times. Mm-hmm. So we're breaking it. But yet, Peter had one. Mm-hmm. Or else he got one real fast. Now, Peter had in his mind that he was going to protect our Lord. But when the chips came down, then he gave up. Because he was outnumbered. There's hundreds of people here. And he comes up here. Now, these people have been trying to arrest Jesus for 3.5 years, haven't they? And they haven't been able to do it. They tried to arrest him and kill him and push him off a cliff and stone him when he announced that he was the Messiah there in Nazareth in the beginning of his ministry. Now, we have hundreds of people coming after Jesus. Hundreds of temple guards. The Herodian guards. Which are servants of Herod and the high priest. And they come up on they come from the temple area in Jerusalem over across down to the Kidron and then up into the Mount of Olives. And here comes this horde of people and there's torches. Like 1,000 flashlights. There's hundreds of people. And they come, and the voices, I'm sure, and their tromping of their feet. You can hear them coming for a long time. Jesus was praying and praying and praying, wasn't he? Lord, if this can pass on in any other way, can we make the plan of salvation in any other way than this? This got to be this way, not your will but mine, not my will but yours be done. And here they come, tramping along. And I'm sure Jesus heard them tramping across that ravine there. And he wakes up the disciples and he says, well, the hour of the Son of Man to be betrayed is at here. And they woke up. And they got up. And they came at Jesus. And Judas' sister, Iscariot, comes there. And Judas Iscariot sees Jesus, and he runs over and wraps his arms around him and begins to keep on kissing him right in the mouth. The kiss of death. Now, Judas was used to doing things like that, wasn't he? The Sicarii would slip in a crowd of numerous people, a big, large, thick crowd, and they would have this underneath their coat, they would have this stiletto, this double-edged little knife with a blade, a slick, slender blade about that long. And they would slip into a Roman soldier, and they would stick it in their stomach and push it up into their heart and twist it and pull it out, stick their knife back in their cloak and walk off. And later on, when they went to Sicily, according to several sources, this is where we get the Sicilian banquets and the Sicilian mafia murderers. The Jews said, never another Masada, didn't they? There have been a lot of Masadas. They arrested Jesus, and Pontius Pilate 5 times declared him innocent. 5 times. He finally asked for a basin. He washed his hands in the basin, and he said, I'm innocent of this man's blood. And they said, let his blood be upon what? Be upon us and our children. Yes, Masada was certain at that point. Pontius Pilate tried to release Jesus unto them. He said, will you take Barabbas, the murderer? Shall I release him or Jesus? And they said, give us Barabbas, the murderer, the leader of the Sicarii. Which later on, remember Jesus had stood there looking upon Jerusalem and said, oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, how many times that I would have called you as a mother hen with her baby chickens, but what? You would not come. You would not come. And he says, not many days from now, there won't be one stone left upon another because of the hardness of their hearts. The hardness of their hearts. Judas was not a victim. Judas was not a martyr. Judas was not predestined with no will. Judas did what he did from the baseness of his heart and through the greed that he'd lived with all his life and the murder in his heart. And yet, there at last, he was grieved because from now on, no one would ever trust him. His career of selfishness and robbery had come to an end. Why, every generation of people in the world have heard of Judas Iscariot since then, don't they? Even Muhammad. You know what Muhammad says about Judas? You know what Muhammad says about Judas? He said that he was sacrificed and that he was crucified on the cross instead of Jesus, because Jesus didn't die on the cross. We know one thing, that Jesus did die on the cross. He died on the cross, and he was handed over into the hands of those wicked men, the Sanhedrin, the chief priest, Herod, and no one in authority but Pontius Pilate tried to save Jesus. He did his best. Do you have any questions? Did you learn something about Judas Iscariot tonight? He wasn't a martyr. He was a murderer and a thief from the very beginning. Our Father, we come to you and we send this message out. Let us not be like Judas Iscariot. Let us always keep the love of our God in our hearts. Let us make the sacrifices that we're called upon in our lives to serve you. And help us to preach your word throughout the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.